You may feel like our system has no justice, but there will be justice on this fine program. Welcome, everybody. Happy Monday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a really great guest lined up for you this hour. I am joined by Luke Baumgartner. He is a research fellow at George Washington University specializing in extremism. This guy knows what he's talking about. So we are going to convene that discussion with Luke and each and every one of you. But first, some breaking news. Jimmy Kimmel's back, I'm sure much to the chagrin of Donald Trump. ABC said on Monday that Jimmy Kimmel Live would return to its airwaves tomorrow, ending an impasse that began last week. In a statement, they said this, quote, "Last Wednesday, we made the decision to suspend production on the show to avoid further inflaming a tense situation at an emotional moment for our country. It is a decision we made because we felt some of the comments were ill-timed and thus insensitive. We have spent the last days having thoughtful conversations with Jimmy, and after those conversations, we reached the decision to return the show on Tuesday." Fascinating. We'll see what happens next. Again, his suspension occurred after current FCC chairman Brendan Carr went on a number of programs and basically said that ABC affiliates should refuse to show the program, said they'd be looking at FCC licenses for ABC and its affiliates, basically threatening ABC, and the suspension occurred. So watch this space. We'll see what comes next. In a similar fit of fury, Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orten is doubling down today on his threat to remove all funding, all federal funding from the Mayo Clinic over an employee's social media post. An employee in Mayo Clinic's HR department posted this, honoring a lifelong divisive white racist, sexist, homophobe, anti-Semite bigot with military honors under the guise of a model, quote, Christian, priceless. Derek Van Orten then posted that post and said this last week, "We will be working to remove every single penny of federal funding from the Mayo Clinic unless this is resolved." So much for those free speech warriors on the right. Interestingly enough, the Mayo Clinic, of course, receives, as you would expect, substantial amounts of federal grant funding. This funding helps fund cancer treatment, cardiovascular disease, aging, and other healthcare research, including 28 healthcare facilities in Van Orten's 3rd congressional district in Wisconsin, including in La Crosse, Eau Claire, Holman, and Sparta, along with many in rural areas. When asked if this funding should be removed because somebody at Mayo said something he didn't agree with, Mr. Van Orten got pretty defensive and just doubled down on his pledge to remove all that funding and falsely claimed that the organization itself is, quote, inciting violence. When the constituent he was talking with pushed back and said that he hadn't seen the organization itself say anything disparaging about the Kirk assassination, Van Orten then told the caller on the show that he was on to, quote, open his aperture and that not all speech is protected. That's weird. Anyways, getting right into it, in the midst of all of this extremism and this back and forth about what free speech is, what's hate speech, what is extremism, we've got our great guest today. Luke Baumgartner is a research fellow at the Program on Extremism at George Washington University. His research includes research into domestic violent extremism, white supremacist movements, and the role of military veterans in political violence. He himself is a military veteran. After receiving his Bachelor of Arts from Southern Illinois University at Carbondale, he was commissioned in the U.S. Army, where he served as an active duty field artillery officer for 4 years and then was honorably discharged. He enrolled in Georgetown University's Security Studies program, where he's got his master's from, and he's here with us today. Thank you for spending some time with us, Luke. I want to jump in, because it seems like there are competing definitions of hate speech and extremism, and that we don't have a shared understanding of what that is. So I just want to start, as a researcher in this area, what defines extremism, specifically domestic extremism here in the United States?
Well, Maggie, first, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity. So to answer your question, it's tricky because, you know, in the U.S., we don't have a strict you know, codification of what hate speech is, what extremism is within U.S. code. Now, I'm not an attorney, so I couldn't give you the ins and outs of the specifics, but, you know, generally how we understand extremism also varies depending on who you ask and how many people are in the field at any given time. Also depends on how many definitions you'll get. But typically what we think of when we have political ideologies, left, right, center, anywhere on that spectrum, typically when somebody is, you know, a certain number of standard deviations away from the mean is what we kind of look at when we want to take a real good look at defining extremism. So that can be left-wing extremism, that could be right-wing extremism. There are some even extremist centrists, believe it or not, that that is a thing, albeit very small. And there's, you know, Islamist extremism, Christian nationalism. There's, you know, extremist Zionist movements as well. So no ideology, no religion, no political persuasion is necessarily immune from extremism. And
let's one thing emphasize that point. No ideology or political persuasion or religion is free of extremism. It exists on all sides. So let's start there, because I wanted to, and I interrupted you, Luke. Please continue your thought, my friend.
You know, when we look at what we think of as extremism, it's also important to differentiate between somebody becoming radicalized to becoming extreme within their, you know, specific religion, ideology, or political affiliation. And another big separator between that is, how does somebody get mobilized to actually commit an act of violence or take any other acts in furtherance of their goals? So there's a difference there.
So someone could have extreme views or express something that someone else considers to be extreme. For example, on social media, I read what this gentleman had posted that's got some folks up in arms. But that is different from being radicalized. And then you used another word, like actually taking action. What was the specific term you used, Luke? Radicalized and then...
Mobilized.
Mobilized. Those are different things. When we're talking about extremism, it can include radicalization and mobilization, but it doesn't necessarily have to. We can talk about extreme speech sort of in its own category. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and you can be an extremist without being violent. You know, typically what we consider a terrorist is somebody who then takes that leap from becoming an extremist, a nonviolent extremist, to a violent extremist. You know, they take that step from merely being radicalized to becoming mobilized to violence.
Folks, if you're just joining us, we've got Luke Baumgartner. He's a research fellow at George Washington University at the Program on Extremism. You've got questions or comments, 855-752-4842. And you're also not going to want to go anywhere. I'm about to drop that word for Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. That's coming up in just a couple minutes. So when we look at violent extremism, and I want to focus there because that, I think, you know, at least from a rhetorical perspective, folks on the right and the left are trying to condemn violent extremism. So when we look at whether it's a statistical analysis of violent extremist acts, whether driven by political ideology, religious ideology, whatever it may be, in the United States, is there a pattern to violent extremist actions that we've been seeing? Do they occur more on the right, more on the left? Are we seeing an increase in violent extremism? Where are we at just in terms of the incidence of these violent extremist acts?
So before I answer your question, let's take a broad view of the history of violent extremism throughout U.S. history, very briefly. What we would probably consider the first violent extremist organization or group in the U.S. would probably very likely be the Ku Klux Klan in its subsequent iterations. So that would probably be the first American terrorist organization. And ostensibly, they were heavily right wing. The U.S. didn't exactly have a bifurcated left and right at that point in history. You know, our terminology of left and right comes from which part of which side of the parliament people sat on during the French Revolution. So we didn't exactly have a one-to-one comparison to that within the U.S. Now, there's been waves, there's been ebbs and flows of extremist violence in the U.S. For instance, you know, in the 60s, there was a rash of right-wing violence in opposition to civil rights movement. You had organized neo-Nazi groups, the second or the third iteration of the Klan, and various other right-wing groups like the citizens' councils and everything like that come up in opposition to MLK and all the other civil rights leaders. And then in the 70s, you saw a, you know, pretty sizable increase in left-wing violence. And that's when a lot of ethno-nationalist movements across the world basically took up left-wing causes or had a left-wing veneer to them. And Americans found that pretty appealing to them. So they sympathized and joined in some of their struggles. And ever since, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, what we've seen is a, you know, a pretty clear demarcation between left and right violent extremism. And it's been overwhelmingly coming from the right wing. You know, for the program that I work at GW, we've primarily tracked extremist violence since 2014, 2015-ish when we were founded. So we have, you know, over a 10-year time period. We have a pretty large sample size. We have nearly, you know, 900 extremist offenders that are of the Islamist or jihadist persuasion. And for our domestic violent extremist offenders, we have close to 600 in the 570-ish range last time I checked. And I did an interview for another publication. And what I found was in a quick, you know, analysis, more than 430 about were of a right-wing persuasion, what, you know, DHS, FBI would traditionally classify as right-wing, whether it's racially or ethnically motivated or anti-government or militia-related. So long story short, you know, the far right has pretty much a monopoly over the last 10, 12 years on extremist violence in the U.S.
Folks, that's Luke Baumgartner. Do not miss the point. The right wing has a monopoly, a near monopoly, on extremist violence in this country over the last 10 or so years. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side. Your questions and comments are welcome. 855-752-4842. We're going to talk the great replacement theory. Is Antifa an extremist organization? Is it even an organization? We're going to get into all of that and so much more, so do not go anywhere. And the first thing I'm going to do when I come back is drop that word to win for Go for the Green and Gold Multi-State Text to Win Context next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.